The issue of masks, I heard somebody talking about it, one of the other presenters this morning, about this incident in Eclipse where this man refuses to wear a mask and starts swearing at the security staff. I mean, it's the most appalling behavior, and he's constantly waving his phone around. So he's probably got one of those certificates which the Liberty Fighters Network issued to say that because Judge Davis had declared lockdown regulations unconstitutional, you were able to do whatever you liked, wherever you liked, dressed the way you wanted. And the security guard, is not supposed to be as well informed as customers, or that would be the general way of thinking, is saying, but that is under review, which it is. Judge Davis himself acknowledged that a different court might come to a different opinion and gave the state permission to appeal his judgment. So, you know, the net impact of that is that the regulations are not yet invalid. They are as they always were. And yet we just have these people who continually refuse to wear masks. I've said before that the Tweet of God is my favorite Twitter account, and yesterday the Tweet of God had this to say: masks are inconvenient and funny looking, and the only people who should wear them are those who don't want to kill others or die. Bing! But how do you get that message across? There are so many people in South Africa for different reasons who won't wear masks. I was listening to a call to Leicester earlier today from somebody who was talking about a situation in a store that they were at where a woman got abusive when staff said to her, "Ma'am, you must wear a mask." And she was allowed to continue shopping because it was early in the morning and the staff didn't want to confront her about this. If I'd been in the store, I would have confronted her about it. But I mean, when there's so many, look, that man in the Eclipse, that's a racist motivation. You people, you people, you people. And then he said, "You people, the government." Well, the security guards aren't the government. The security guards are black and the government is black. And that's why that man is refusing to wear a mask, because he refuses to do anything a bloody black government will tell him to do. We're joined now by the CEO at Heartlines, Dr. Garth Jaffet. And Garth addressed the issue of masks in an opinion piece published towards the end of last week. How do we message differently, Garth? Because what's out there at the moment is not working. Fewer and fewer people are wearing masks. People are getting more relaxed about not wearing a mask and more angry when they are confronted about wearing a mask. So what do we do differently?
Well, I think, John, thank you. The key thing is that message plus person doesn't equal behavior. We've learned this over many years of different public health issues. But knowledge is not necessarily, you know, the end point of behavior. If it was, people wouldn't smoke. If it was, we wouldn't have an HIV epidemic and so on. And so I think number one is that we've got to acknowledge that this is not just something that we've got to put up more billboards or do more PSAs. We've got to find out why. And so I think the focus of this article was very much around, you know, if we keep on doing the same thing, we are unlikely to get different results. And the different thing we need to do is to do, which is, you know, good public health communication, which is to begin to understand what the barriers are to change.
One of the difficulties with COVID-19, though, is that there are so many different barriers to change. Different groups of people living in different circumstances at different levels of our society have different reasons why they're not wearing a mask. And so you have to come up with a series of differentiated public health messaging.
Absolutely. No, exactly correct. And it isn't one size fits all. And it is, you know, to be honest, it's quite easy to do a one size fits all. But you'd be surprised, again, this is, you know, based on just public health communication, that you pick up, you know,
Garth, you're breaking up very badly. We're not able any longer to hear what you're saying. Sometimes just moving half a meter to left or right just cleans things up a little.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little better.
I'm just saying is surprisingly a quick survey would probably show quite a lot of similarities between barriers. So we do know that, for instance, in an informal settlement or in a township situation, the the barriers might be very different to in a middle-class suburb. And we've got to actually understand this better, and it's not expensive to do, and it's quite quick to do. And that, I think, is what is desperately needed right now, is an ongoing understanding. We say behavior is what's going to change this epidemic, and yet we should show, we're pouring money into the medical interventions, which we have to do. But behavior change is not just about putting up new billboards and hoping something changes.
I mean, that's it. That's what we've got, is we've got billboards and we've got speeches from ministers and we've got speeches from scientists. It may well be that things are happening outside of my particular field of vision, but I've not read about it. I've not heard about it. It seems to be, they're a billboard here in Cape Town. We've got these variable messaging billboards as one drives in and out of town, and those constantly are having COVID-19 messaging on them. And Zweli Mkhize makes a speech, and ministers, advisors from the Ministerial Advisory Committee talk about these non-medical interventions and how important they are. And that seems to me to be where it stops.
Well, to my knowledge, that is where it stops. I've worked in this field for a while, and there is a we have the expertise in this country. We've been through an HIV pandemic. We have some of the leading thinkers around how to actually do behavior change in a more considered way. And as I say, the baseline is to actually begin to try and understand what barriers are in different communities. And it's not like then having to do 400 different messages. It is just about understanding that behavior is not linear, A, and B, that there are societal norms and things that we can perhaps quite easily look at, which might create a more radical shift in behavior than we're seeing right now.
While you and I have been talking, Garth, I've had 7 or 8 people say, why doesn't the government make it law? And for example, I was reading earlier today that the Swiss government has now made it law to wear a mask while on public transport and while in buildings, whether those buildings are churches or theatres or shops. And they passed the law because people were not responding to the polite requests to do so. In this country, with, shall we say, a fairly shallow respect for the law, I'm not sure that passing a law would lead to any greater adherence. What do you think?
I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
And again, it's worth looking at other public health issues. And one that comes to mind is smoking. The knowledge around smoking kills, smoking causes cancer, lots of scare campaigns led to not a huge reduction in the number of smokers. The thing that really tipped smoking was two things. One was price, and the other one was legislation around where you could or couldn't smoke. That led to the reduction of smoking because it was a societal measure rather than a public health message. So I agree with you in terms of our respect for the law, et cetera, but I certainly think it would be a useful step in the right direction. It does not negate us trying to better understand different environments and being a little bit less ad agency, if I can, I'm not saying that in a negative way, but it's not like sending chip packets. So part of a response, I think, could well be legislating the wearing of masks.
What, Garth, in terms of your experience, and you've been in this this field of changing behavior through through storytelling, I suppose is the simplest way of describing what you do at Heartlines. What's your sense of why most people who are not wearing masks or not wearing masks properly are doing so? And the corollary to that is, what kind of messaging do you think would lead them to change their behavior? I know you've spoken about doing surveys to find that out,
yes,
but I suspect that you have some instincts on this.
Instinct, but again, I would be, going against my own advice to even suggest I act on instinct.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think it is the the sort of behavior you talked about in the introduction about the woman in the or the man in Clicks or whatever, that I would imagine is probably an outlier. I think that people not wearing masks, for instance, in taxis might have something to do, for instance, with the lead or not lead of the taxi driver, in which case actually addressing drivers would be the key thing rather than just addressing passengers. I would imagine that you know, there was an article in Daily Maverick suggesting that maybe people, you know, white people were running without masks, and that was a sort of rebellion against...
Yeah, I'm sorry, I disagree with Mark Hayward on that. Normally, I think that's nonsense.
I think that people are better informed, might be better informed, that running outside has a very, very low risk of transmission.
And there we will leave it. Thank you very much. The very useful stuff, despite the imperfect line from Dr. Garth Jaffet, CEO at Heartlines. I mean, another story from the international arena. A French bus driver is brain dead. He was attacked for refusing to let four people on board his bus because they weren't wearing face masks. So that's four people. None of them had a ticket. None of them had a mask. This was in Bayonne yesterday. And he said to them, "You can't get onto this bus without a mask." And their response was to hit him to the point where he is now brain dead. Yeah. It's a minor inconvenience. That's all it is.